Oh, a sound of great things I have in me, the burning by God.
I'm talking about the impact of salvation or the effect of salvation on the saved. Many often than not, people think that to be saved means to just confess Jesus Christ and claim that you have believed, and then you are saved. So you go to church, you struggle with all kinds of things, and then you hope for God to change the things. When you get saved, it goes beyond just confessing that Jesus is Lord and claiming that you have believed that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is not all that there is about being born again. Because some people will just say, oh, you say to be born again simply means I have to confess and believe. Okay, I have confessed. Now I'm telling you, I have believed. Yet we don't see any change. Your belief in Christ is supposed to bring a change in your life. Hallelujah. Your belief in Christ, your heart believe in Christ. The Bible says, for go to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Let me tell you something there. And then we are going to get into this. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then the verse 10 says that, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart, man trusts unto righteousness. Man believes unto righteousness. It means that when the heart is involved, there is an unto righteousness. Are we together in this place? So salvation actually impacts your life. People claim that they are born again. Then we line you up, or we line them up and say, now it's time to receive the Holy Ghost. And then they come and they speak fake tongues. And then we say, oh, thanks be to God, this guy is born again. It goes beyond that. Hallelujah. Come on, are we together in this place? It goes beyond that. Goes beyond that. Being born again goes beyond that. Being born again brings a tangible change in the life of a man. And that's where we are getting to. I wanted to continue the eternality of our salvation. And God says, you know what? Forget about that one and come and talk about this. Tangible change. Tell your neighbor, tangible change. Come on, tangible change. So when you get born again, there is a tangible change. You know, when somebody says, holiness is not about what you do. Righteousness is not about what you do. It's your belief. Of course, yes. But that belief will lead you to do something right. Now, so let's go back to Ezekiel. God says that this is what the born again is. What I'm teaching you, can you believe that is in foundation school curriculum? Yeah, so you are learning foundation school in the evening service. Hallelujah. Now, go to 27. Okay, 26. A new heart. So this is being born again. A new heart I will give them. So when you say that you're born again, it means that you have a new heart. Hallelujah. Number two, then he says that a new heart will I give them and a new spirit. So if there is a new heart and there is a new spirit, it means that there was an old heart and there was an old spirit. Are we together in this place? So when you become born again, you receive a new heart. And then you receive a new spirit. And then the next verse is, and I will put my spirit. It means that being born again, you receive three things. Number one is what? A new heart. Number two is what? A new spirit. And number three is what? The Spirit of God. These are the three things that come into you the moment you get born again, the moment you accept Jesus Christ. Now, if you truly believed in Jesus, these three things will walk into you. Hallelujah. Now, what is a new heart? Now, okay, go back to the 25. Let's try to find out a new heart. And we'll find out what a heart is. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. So being born again is the taking out of a stony heart. Are we together? Come on, are we together in this place? Is a taking out of a stony heart and a bringing in of what? Of a heart of flesh. Now, what is a heart? When the Bible uses the word heart, it talks about your personality. It talks about that which drives your actions, that which drives your motives, that which drives your life, and the product that those things bring in your life. Are we together? So a heart refers to your personality in that it is the things that drive you, the things that move you, the things you contemplate about. So the Bible made a very powerful statement in 4:23 of Proverbs. He says that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, put it in the NIV. NIV put it very powerfully. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of that heart flows everything you do. You got it there? He says, okay, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Are we together? Guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. It means that what we see you do is what is in your heart. Are we together in this place? Now, when you see somebody who is always contrary to the word of God, who is always stubborn, it is not the actions. We don't know the person in the action. We know the person in the heart. Come on, are we together in this place? If you meet somebody who is constantly in idol worship, that idol worship, the person got into the idol worship because of a craving in the heart. Come on, are we together? So the Bible says, out of your heart flows everything you do. So everything you do comes from your heart. Are you understand why God says, I'll give you a new heart? I'll give you a new heart means that I will give you a new life. Are we together? So guard your heart. No, go back. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs, quickly. Say, I guard my heart. Come on, one more time. I guard my heart. For out of it, come on, out of it flows everything that I do. So he says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So if I do right, it's flowing from my heart. If I do wrong, it's flowing from my heart. And Ezekiel tells you that when I sprinkle clean water upon you, and I told you the clean water being sprinkled simply means I'll get you born again. And when I get you born again, you will be cleaned. And in that born again, you receive a new heart. Now, another version also says that guard your heart, all right? For out of it is the seat of your passions. So your heart is the seat of your passions. The things that you want. How many of us know there are things we want that people don't need them? No, think about somebody who goes to sleep with somebody because of iPhone. And somebody really doesn't want iPhone. Like me, if I'm a lady, you can't sleep with me with the iPhone. Maybe you may be able to sleep with me for a Samsung. Because I like Samsung more than iPhone. Are we together in this place? Now, it doesn't mean that if you're here, you like Samsung. Say, pastor says if it's a woman. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that I like Samsung. I see Samsung to be more sensible than iPhone. And somebody also sees iPhone to be more sensible than Samsung. So the things that you want, the things that you need, the things that you are craving for, somebody is seeing it and does not even respect it. Come on, hallelujah. Yeah. Now you're looking for 5,000 cedis and somebody is already content with 400 cedis and is living life and enjoying life. So the things that where the seat of your passion, the things that you crave for, is very peculiar to you because it's coming from your heart. Why do people do the things they do? Because of their cravings. I'll show you a scripture, I think, in Luke. So what makes a good man and what makes a bad man is just their heart. What you know, the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. The heart of man. So it means that the heart of man that is wicked makes man wicked. Are we together? The state of your heart defines the state of your life. The state of your heart is actually the state of your life. Or the state of your life is the state of your heart. So if you want to change your heart, sorry, if you want to change your life, you change your heart. Why do people love Jesus and others don't? Why do people become more forceful in church than others? Why do people find it very happy and joyful to serve God and others don't? It's the state of their heart. It is the direction of their heart. Because somebody's heart is directed towards something else. And someone has directed his heart towards God. Hallelujah. So, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. This is what NLT, how NLT puts it. Your heart determines the course of your life. So the things that are in your heart determines where you are going. It determines how your life is going to be. So the Bible says you have a responsibility to do what? Guard it. Let's go back to Ezekiel. And you are going to love it. Say, my heart is from God. Hallelujah. Say, my heart is from God. So you will get a new heart. That's all that I want to say. I wanted us to see from Jeremiah. You will get a new heart. So the heart is an important thing. Now, the heart, don't think about that thing that is pumping blood. Do you get it? Yeah, that's not what he's talking about. So when you accept Jesus, when you get born again, you have to come to terms with the fact that you have a new life. You have a new heart. Let me take you to Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Let's begin from 34 and then we'll cut in. Look at what Jesus says. Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it means that your heart, all right? Your heart is the seat of your passions. Your heart directs your life. And secondly, your heart does what? Directs your words. Are we together? Come on, are we together in this place? So Jesus says what? Out of the abundance of your heart, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I can know the state of a man's heart by listening to him. Are we together in this place? The way you talk shows what is really in your heart. Come on, all of us can say, oh, we serve God. We are all God's servant. But when I listen to, when you are making plans, the way God is not even part of it. The way God is not part of your plans. The way you really want to make, the way you really want to marry, or the way you really want to go to school, the way you really want to go to Canada or go to America, and you ask, oh, why do you want to go? Oh, I want to go and work there. I want to get a lot of money. Charlie, the world is going now, you have to build a life. Oh, Charlie, build a life. You know, and when those things are coming out of your mouth, it is a clear state. It is the clear state of your heart that you say with your mouth that you are serving God. But deep in your heart, There's nothing like service to God in your heart. So you can deceive everybody, but you can't deceive your heart. Because whatever is in your heart, we are going to hear from your mouth. Oh, how many times people have spoken in tongues. Robo-bo-bo-bo, robo-bo-bo-bo, raye, 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 kololo, la-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo. And right after tongues speaking, nothing of church, nothing of God, nothing of Christ. You know, like the guy who sang and said, Friday night, all of them go to the park, they go to the club. Saturday night, Sunday morning, everybody's in church. Do you understand? The heart is full of clubbing. But the mouth tries to praise God. But even as it is praising God, clubbing comes out of it. The guy is born again, but he secretly goes for club. Then he comes to church Sunday morning and he holds the microphone. There's a testimony in the house. God is great. After clubbing. Wow. Say, wow. What a club. So the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Charlie, things are not working in my life. I for Jakba. That's the state of your heart. So, you know, some people say, oh, I said that it's for a joke, it's for a joke. Most often than not, it's not for a joke. That is their heart cry. Hallelujah. Okay, next verse. 35. A good man. Now, Jesus says a good man. A good man means a righteous man. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Now, that means that when we see somebody doing good things, when we see somebody bringing out good things, that is a righteous person. Now, that means I can't say I am righteous and my life does not show that I'm righteous. Come on, are we together in this place? I can't say I am the righteousness of God and I'm wallowing in sin. Are we together in this place? Why? The Bible says if truly that you are righteous, we will see good things coming from you. Then he says that an evil man, that's an unrighteous man, out of the evil treasure, bring it forth evil things. Now, let's go to Luke so that you find the missing heart there. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Okay. 43-45. Luke 6, 43-45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. This is quite simple. For a good tree, 43, it says, for a good tree does not bring forth bad fruit. Hey, well, are we together in this place? So I want to give you a very hot message. A good tree, now put NIV or NLT, any of them. For a good tree bringeth not corrupt fruit. So you cannot be telling me I'm a good tree, and yet your fruit is corrupt. You can't tell me that you're good. Are we together in this place? Now, I will come back to a new heart. Why I'm taking this tangent? He says, no good tree bears bad fruit. This is Jesus talking. No good tree bears bad fruit. If the tree is good, the fruit is good. Come on. Hallelujah. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. If it's bad, the fruit is bad. Now, he says a tree is identified by its fruit. We may not know the tree, but for the fruit, we know. And the fruit will let us know the tree as to whether it is good or it is bad. Hallelujah. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. It means that you can't go to an orange tree and go and find mango. Mango tree and go and find onions. Hey, is onion a fruit? It's a vegetable, right? You get it? He says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. So goodness comes from a good heart. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born again. No, I didn't hear you. Say, I'm born again. One more time. I'm born again. So a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. It means that the heart gives birth to actions. The heart gives birth to words. Your words are your heart. And your actions, your continuous or your consistent actions are your heart. Yay. Can you say yay? Hallelujah. Then God says in Ezekiel, in the new birth, I will give them a new heart. If he says I will give them a new heart, what does that mean? Come on, who can tell me? What does that mean? I'll give them a new heart. What does I'll give them a new heart mean? Come on. A new life. New actions. Don't be saying stuff like that. New spirit. Why are you sleepy? I see new spirit. New spirit, pal. It means that when you get born again, your actions change. Your words change. That is the proof positive that you have indeed received a new heart. So there's no such thing that I can't help it. I want to stop talking bad, but I keep on saying it. It means that you have to be born again. Do you understand what I'm talking about? See, the grace of God is not, even if you sin, when you get born again, you are saved. It is, you are saved, so you don't sin. Hallelujah. No, we didn't get born again to be sinning, and then God will perfecting us, and then finally we are out of the sin. Born again means that you are taking out of sin. The moment you find yourself sinning, it means that you are taking something that you didn't bring. You have brought foreign goose. See, when you read the Bible, something happened. I think it was Saul. I forgot who he was, but in the stories in the Bible, they went to fight. They brought something from the enemy's camp to the camp of God, to the camp of the Israelites. And God says that somebody has brought something foreign here, and death started happening. So it is not like God is now perfecting you, like, oh yeah, you were a baby, so you can sin, and then when you grow, you stop. No, it is that you are born again, you have a new heart. Even in your babiness, you have a new heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, in your babiness, you have a new heart. To grow in the new heart. So it means that you grow in righteousness. You don't go from sin to righteousness. You don't grow from that thing you call weakness to righteousness. You grow from righteousness to righteousness. Come on, are we together? The Bible calls it from faith to faith. So there you are. Before you got born again, you used to drink. You used to watch porn. You don't get born again and still be struggling with pornography. Hallelujah. Why? You have a new heart. Say, I have a new heart. Come on. I like your tender silence. Say, I have a new heart. Say, I have a new heart. So it means that now the seat of my passions are God-driven. Because that's what the heart is. The seat of my passions are God-driven. I used to crave for cigarette. Some of you used to smoke before you got born again. How many of us have smoked before? I'm not talking about the paper thing that we did, but real cigarettes. You've smoked cigarettes before. Wow. Did you enter into weed? You've tried it before. Wow. So think about it. So before you got born again, you smoked. The testimony is that when I got born again, I received a new heart. The desire to smoke is no more there. Hallelujah. Maybe before you got born again, you really like sex. You watch porn. He said, who? Oh, please. Leave my son alone. Now, you really used to love sex. Maybe you watch porn. Finally, go and find somebody's daughter and give it to her. When you get born again, your passions are God-driven. So the Bible says, reckon ye yourself that you are dead to sin indeed. I'll come there. When you account, you calculate, and you take in your mind that I am dead to sin. That is what it means to be born again. In fact, after you get born again and you continuously sin, it is not you who even have to doubt your salvation. We have to doubt your salvation. That no, you can't be born again and be doing that. Hallelujah. Paul said something. He says, brothers, check if there's anybody who is called fornicator among you, don't even eat with him or sit with him. He didn't say if there's anybody fornicating among you. He said, if there's anybody who is a fornicator, it means that who makes that practice a practice. He's been spoken to. He's been prayed for. You know, there are some people, their weaknesses, you pray for them. First of all, you advise them. You pray for them. You fast with them. You do all of that. And it's not going. Paul says, get them out. They are not born again. Come on, are we together in this place? When you get born again, God gives you a new heart. A new heart. No, you can't be born again and commit abortion. Then it means you were not born again. There are people in churches, they commit abortion. Yeah. They don't think twice. Oh, I know guys in some churches, in some grace churches, they've committed abortions. Not abortions. They don't think about it. It's not like when they come, hey, God, help. No. Then when the girl says, oh, I'm pregnant, all right, clear it. Do you have some of the drug there? All right, clear it. Our past and present, future, and our past, present, and future sins are forgiven. Oh, yes, true, they are forgiving. But then, are you sure you are saved? Because if you are saved, you won't commit murder in Greece. Come on, are we together in this place? Yep. Because the church is full of judgmental. No, salvation has impact on you. That's why these things are misnomer. They are things that are not us. So the moment it is found in a brother or in a sister, the person needs quick rescue. You are a Christian. You can't stop stealing. Ah. Are you sure you're born again? Yeah. Hey. No, you're a Christian. You can't stop stealing. What does not belong to you, you take it. You just steal. Without the permission. Listen, nobody should laugh. This is a serious thing. Without the permission of the owner. You are a Christian. You're gossiping. You hear news. And then you add your own. And then you sell it. You begin to say things that you can't even substantiate. The Bible says only a fool. Who will hear of a matter? and will not inquire to find the truth and will just go and spread. That's also a sin. How many of us know that the sin of gossip is as the same, as the sin of abortion? Every painting be painting. So it's a new heart. Say a new heart. Come on. Yeah, it's a new heart. And the new heart, Jesus says, will bring. So it means that a man in whom is a new heart will produce fresh things, new things. How are we together? Yeah. So that you can come and say, oh, I have received my new heart. In the sense that when I was in the world, I used to drink. You know, one time somebody called me and the person says that he is a lotto number person. He gives lotto number. So he's giving me a lotto number. I should go and stake. If I win, then I'll give him his percentage, 40%. And I just said that I'm a Christian. I don't stake lotto. Then I hang up. But the joy of it, I don't know, but I was so joyful because of the answer I give. Because, of course, I mean, I'm never going to stake lotto. But the answer I give, I'm a Christian, it makes me so fulfilled. When a Christian is asking, betting, is betting sin? The reason why you are asking if it's a sin is that you know it is. So the guy, is in church and he's doing a Real Madrid versus Argentina, you know, and he's just looking at a thing, you know. You know, I didn't know what Avieta was. Let me tell you my story. So a sister in Christ told me that, oh, there's something called Avieta. So you put in money there, and then you, like, there's something like a plane. So you put it there, and then I thought it was Forex. So when it hits to where you are. So the lady explained it very nicely to me. So I'm like, oh, really? Say, yeah. I should load my wallet. So I loaded my wallet to 20 CDs. I never knew what that thing was. Don't do it big because you are now doing it. And I knew about Forex. So maybe I thought this is a mini Forex or something. And foolish me, I didn't Google to find out what Aviator was. I saw we do that thing, like the thing go 2.1, 2.22. So the thing finished. Then I read on it. Then I got to know that, oh, it's actually Betty. Like, wow. And this is a tongue-talking Christian sister. Say a new heart. One more time, a new heart. When somebody looks at you and say, that church, I'll never attend that church. It means that you are not exhibiting the qualities of the heart that you have. Come on, are we together in this place? The Bible says that. God says, and I will give them a new heart. I will give them a new heart. And the new heart that he gives brings a new life. Come on. You don't like what I'm telling you? Say, I'm full of power. A new heart, a new life. A new heart, a new life. A new heart, a new speech. A new way of talking. You remember the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, take us there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Look at that. You'll find it there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, look at that, he is a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he is not that guy with a weakness. He is not that guy who is struggling with gossip. He is not that lady who is struggling with people. I mean, sex. No, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what the Bible says. So the moment the new creature begins to exhibit perpetually the symptoms of the old creature, then we have to know two things are at play here. This one is an old creature trying to be a new creature. He's not a finished new creature. Because a new creature will bring new things. Come on. Hallelujah. So let the things that exude from your life be the things that are of the new creature. Why? Because being born again is a reception of a new heart. The seat of your passions change. It's not just about sin, so it's also about when you are taking decisions. When you are taking decisions for your life, the way you are too carnal about it. I'll marry at the age of 29 or 20. No, if you're a lady, 29, you're already passing. So I'll marry at the age of 25. So 25, I'll get married. And 26, 27, I'll have my twins. And then we're flying abroad. And you're wondering, this one too, is he born again? The way you think. The way when you don't have money, you think that all your life is gone. The way when something gets missing around you, all your hope is lost. Are we together in this place? The way you can be so happy about God for a moment and then the next 2 days, you won't go to church again. These are not things that are in the new heart. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And we always read, if any man be, hey, I'm a new, Continue. He says, old things are past. He didn't say some of the things are past. He says, old things. So as long as they are part of the old, they are passed away. Come on, hallelujah. Say they are passed away. Laziness have passed away. Gossips have passed away. Wrong thinking have passed away. Carnality have passed away. I'm a new creation. But I mean, on a more serious note, if you really want to be grounded as a Christian, find yourself, go to the foundation school. That's why I've been in this church for 3 years. That's why your life is like that. If we did not take you through foundation school, when we close, pack your bags and your Bible and go and join. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. It means that the old ceases to exist. They are gone. Come on. Say they are gone. Then he says that, behold, come on, behold, all things, he didn't say all things are becoming new. All things have become new. No, put a different version there. Not all things are becoming new. All things have become new. Or all things are become new. Okay. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Put a different version there. NLT is the word began for me. NIV or something. Okay. If anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's also wrong. We are not renewed. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Because spiritual awakening brings a new life. So new things have come. They are not about to. Come on. Hallelujah. So if truly you have received a new heart, like it will come with a certain level of something. When you're taking action, the Bible says something. It says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And you say, it's not like how the tree put it. Say, nyamisro eni nyansam fiti asie. No. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It means that the fear of God is the source of wisdom, or is the word beginning in there is the apex of wisdom. Are we together? So you can't say you have wisdom. We should not trust that you have wisdom until we see that you have the fear of God. Come on. Hallelujah. So the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, so if somebody does not fear God, we don't even regard the person as wise. Come on. Hallelujah. I have a new heart. Therefore, I have a new life. When you check through the word of God, you will find out that, of course, forgiveness is past, present, and future. The apostles preached forgiveness to the people based on their past, because they believed that the moment you receive the life of God, you will not even go on sinning. First, even talk about the forgiveness of the present. So the forgiveness of our present and future sins is rooted in the finished works of Christ, but not in the preachings of the apostles. Why? Because they believe that, do you know that in the early church, when a Christian is sinning, when they talk to you, you keep on sinning. They talk to you, you keep on sinning. They pray for you, you keep on sinning. What they do is that they tell you that you are not born again. That's where the term false brethren, that's where they came inside. So that's actually like a false Christian. Why? He's a Christian who is not exhibiting the Christian life. This is like, how can a Christian be gossiping? No, how can you say you are a Christian and you don't have something for God in church? No, why can you say, how can you say you are a Christian and you can be home for 2 weeks, you don't go to church? Hey, are we sure the guy is a Christian? So that's how they begin to think. One day you come to church and they tell you that, hey, brother, thank you so much for being in this church for a long time. Please, there's always a church down there. Go there. Why? Because they believe that. So you may be born again truly, but then you are suffocating your spiritual life. You are suffocating your real life because of the things you allow to happen in your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Not all things will pass away. Not all things are becoming passed away. Hallelujah. I had an addiction to stealing. They are past. I had an addiction to gossip. They are past. I had an addiction to pornography. They are past. I had an addiction. It is past the moment you're born again. Come on. So I think when I'm done, I have to do an altar call today. You want to be born again, again? Come and be born again, again. Be born again afresh. See, I'm saying this thing to let you know that when you get born again, this born again thing, this salvation thing, it's like it's a reception of a new heart. So God puts something into you that will cause you automatically to live for him. So you can't tell me you received that thing and you are still struggling to walk with God. No, 31:31, Jeremiah. Now let's go to Jeremiah. We'll come back here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 31:31, quickly. I'm born again. I have a new life. Come on, I have a new heart. And I have a new life. Hallelujah. 31:31. Please put King James there. Hallelujah. I'm serious this evening. Behold, listen, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not the covenant that I made with their fathers in the wilderness, and that they broke it by the hand to lead them out of the land. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. I was reading in my head though. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God and they shall be my people. So it means that the new heart that we receive came with the laws of God, not the Ten Commandments. It came with God's laws. The problem with the Old Testament is the Ten Commandments was that the people had the law externally. So they couldn't do it. But this time, God engrafts his law in the heart. And then he takes off the stony heart. I'll explain the stony heart. He takes off the stony heart and he puts a new heart in you. And that new heart that comes came with the laws of God. So I have a heart. Upon it is the laws of God. Hallelujah. Then look at that. For no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. How? For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sins I remember no more. Continue. So that says the Lord, who gives the sun and for the light and blah, 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 blah. So when that happens, what's going to happen? They will know me. A heart that has the laws of God. So deep within you. In fact, you see, you cannot do anything about how your heart is beating. So God puts it in a way or in a place in you that you don't have control over it. That is what the new life should be. The new life should bring you to a place where you easily follow God. And that's the difference between a stony heart and a heart that God gives. That's the heart of flesh. A stony heart is an unrepentant heart. A heart that makes its mind to be insubordinate to God. A heart that cannot obey God. A heart that cannot follow God. Say, I don't have a heart of stone. I mean, if you don't say it, it means that you really have a rock in your heart, in your chest. Say, I don't have a heart of stone. Hallelujah. Yep. So now let's go back to Ezekiel. So he says, I'll give them a new heart. And the new heart has what? It has its laws. Come on. Hallelujah. It has its laws that the Lord gave. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Nazareth. Read the 26 for me. You have the 26. Read it for me. Didn't you read up with your Bibles? Can you imagine that? Uh-huh, read it. Uh-huh. One, two, go. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Continue. Mm-hmm. So look at that. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That I will cause you to walk in my statutes actually is when you receive a new heart and a new spirit, and I put my spirit within you, that is the cause. You'll be caused by these three elements to follow God. To walk in his statutes means to walk in his ordinance, in his laws. So I cannot be really born again, truly born again, and find it difficult to follow God. No. The will of God is not cumbersome. The will of God is not heavy. The will of God is not grievous. The will of God is not hard. You know, like when we say, you want to be a pastor? Don't try. Don't. If I go and be a carpenter, mason, plumber, doctor, lawyer somewhere, just go. Ah! Mini. I don't even want to add this three. When you align to your new heart, to the new spirit, and to the spirit of God that is within you, God says, I will cause you. I will cause you. I will cause you. So everyone that is genuinely born again is caused by God. He is engineered by God. His steps are caused by God. I didn't say cursed, caused. Hallelujah. So the moment we find somebody who is living every day, the person is every day living opposite God, we can conclude that that brother is not born again. Anybody who got born again and his life never changed, the person never got born again. How do we know those who are born again? By the life that they get. by the life that they live. For example, Paul was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. He saw Jesus Christ, our Lord, at the road to Damascus. He get blinded. His eyes get open. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we never read that he committed murder again. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Jesus casted out seven spirits or so from her. And we never heard that he went by there. He never did that. Why? Because salvation begins from within. It's not from without. It's not when you get born and say, I'm born again now. Me, I won't gossip again. Oh. This one is tempting me. I say, I won't gossip again. No. It's a within thing. The ability to do that is no more there. The desire to do that is no more there. You find it irritating. Hallelujah. You find it irritating. You don't understand why. You should gossip. You don't. Sometimes even those things that you feel like, they're giving me pleasure and joy. You find it irritating. Why? Because something has come to live inside you. And that's why when a true Christian sins, it's like you have not even bathed. You feel confused. You feel all kinds of things. And you are just there. You are scratching your head. You know. But I mean, there are some people, when they sin, they don't feel anything. Yeah, they don't feel anything. All right. God has taken care of it. Let's continue. No, it doesn't work like that. Any Christian who sins and does not cry is not born again. Because Paul says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow. So it's not like, what's the problem? I have sinned. No, please. That's drama. That's drama.
What's the problem? I have sinned.
You are being dramatic. Hallelujah. But there's this spirit within you. The spirit God placed in you. He tells you, you are foreign. This is strange to you. And you are strange to this. You see, most of you now, people think that, when you are doing youth ministry, one of the common things is fornication. Another thing is stealing. Somebody will go and steal something, they will arrest the person and all of that. But it should not be so. Because even the young person also received a new heart. Hallelujah. No, didn't you receive a new heart? So I received a new heart. Come on, one more time. I received a new heart. So I was saying that is how we get to dichotomize the one that is born again and the one that is not born again. The one that is not born again, he lives a reckless life. He does not. See, if you are born again, you can't even ride motor and lift the head. No, if you are born again, you can't do that. No, you can't. I'm serious. Oh, the guys, I'm serious. I'm damn serious. You can't. Why? Because you know your life is not your own. You belong to God. You can't be riding and lift the front. Your life is not your own. No, Paul says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No, he begins by saying that, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Every decision you take affects God. Hallelujah. It affects God. There you are. You are going to the mortuary. And because you are going to the mortuary and it's your sister or your husband's friend who is not born again, that is dead. And in the village that you are coming from, because man of God is not there, no member of the church is there. Now, you stand on the kia and then you are doing that and you are seeing Bele and all of that. And you're born again. Hallelujah. No, you're born again. You are going to the mortuary. And you are standing on top of a car. And they are playing drums. And you are... No, you don't know that you can die. And when you die, the kingdom of God is at lost. I said, ah, here for here. Nobody is here. Please, let's go. Some of you, when you go to your family gatherings, you do all kinds of ungodly things. Because you, and you know, some of you, is like you have taken vacation from church. Like, ah, I say, man of God, please, I can't come to church on this Sunday because we are going to bury our uncle, sister, husband who died last month. So please, I'll be coming next week. Like the joy with which they announce it. The joy. I cannot be coming to church. I can't come to church. I say, ah, so why? Oh, man of God, please, I can't come. The joy. I can't come. The way they are so happy. They are even telling you in a rush. Because they have to go. My mother's auntie is dead, man of God. And we have to be there. They've been. Do you know how many family meetings I had to miss? It came to a point my mom has to use a strategy. So, can you imagine that? And then once you get there, say, oh, I'm about something new. And it's like the moment I greet and I land, the Bible says Jesus sneaked into the crowd. You know, every fashion you want to go. Your stepfather's stepbrother's uncle. The younger brother of the stepsister who died and rose again. No. And you came to say that with joy. That kind of freedom, you go and spend 1 week. Then you are walking in the village where you grow up. Can you imagine? You're born again. Then you wear this black dress, and you know you have, if the lady or that scarf, or born a scarf, be that ne twist, egu ne chin, or boss scarf, be nice and space, then a pump on where you cry. Christo ni krasini. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes. Are you born again? You are riding motor, you lift the head. You are born again. You are standing in a car. A car is going, Kia is going, and you stand in the Kia. Then you are waving. As though we have voted for you, and you are giving us, you are doing thanksgiving. All these things are sin. Yeah. You are riding motor, you lift, it's a sin. Should they think I'm lying? Or? Anything you do that puts your life in danger is a sin. Come on, praise the name of the Lord. All right. Go back to 2 Corinthians. So that's what differentiates Christians from non-Christians. The non-Christian is not accountable to God in his actions. The Christian is. Because he has given us a new heart to live a new life. That makes us accountable. I like something. Go to Psalm 32. Let's try to see something there, and I'm going to wrap up. Let's go to Psalm 51. That's where David did the prayer, right? Is it Psalm 51? Oh, you don't know? Psalm 51. Yeah. When David sinned against God by sleeping with another man's wife, and then killed the husband. And his sin was called to him by Nathan. So this is the prayer he prayed. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I'm still preaching salvation. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. 4. Against thee only have I sinned. Is that true? You sinned. You slept with somebody's wife, and you killed the person. Do you sin against God alone? But David says, no, I have to clear myself and God. That is the difference between one who knows God and the other who does it. This is not a, you know, sometimes a pastor will tell you, oh, you did this thing. Okay, go and read Psalm 51 and pray with it. Just be, please. No, you can't be a Christian and be praying that prayer. Yeah, put it there. Okay, but I just want to show you something because the Bible says all scripture is profitable for teaching. All right? So that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. 5. Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Next verse. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. My God. The guy was preaching grace here. My God. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquity. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. That's where it came from. Oh God. You know, so when you come to church and pastor lifts up a song, create in me a clean heart. This is where it came from. But it's a wrong this thing because so you mean, pastor, you have sinned before you came here? That's what it means. Okay. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So you see, this, of course, this can't happen to us, right? But it tells you the desire of David, even when he sinned. That his problem was that, God, may I not lose my relationship with you because of this. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Of course, I mean, this is it hyperbolic or hypothetic? It's one of the hypos, right? But it's not real. God can't take his Spirit from you. Do you understand that? But he says, I really love you. I love your Spirit to the point that I don't want you to take the Spirit away. Think about it. A Christian can just mess up and does not care where the Holy Ghost will be. When the Bible says that grieve not the Spirit, he does not care. He doesn't go and say, Holy Spirit, please, I've grieved you, forgive me. No, he doesn't say, oh, Spirit of God. He doesn't patch things with the Spirit of God. He just keeps on praying. He keeps on serving God. It's wrong. Are you forgiving? Yes. 100%. Whether you forgive, see, the thing is that whether you confess or you don't confess, you are forgiving. For example, you know that your father loves you so much and you do something that hurts his heart and you begin to do the right thing. Will your father still be angry? No. He still loves you. But it is appropriate to say that I know what I did was wrong. Case closed. Come on, are we together in this place? That is the difference between you and one who is not born again. The born again continues living. The Christian would want to make himself right with God. It does not mean that God is not right with you. Are we together? You are not right with God. God is right with you. It's not when you sin, God draws, God, what's the word? God draws away from you. It's never true. When you sin, you draw away from God. You go. God is always there. Are we together? So he says, don't take your Spirit away from me. Next verse. Restore me unto the joy of thy salvation. This is another thing. When a Christian messes up, you can't seem to find your joy. You can be laughing, but you know deep down, it's not a laughter. The Holy Ghost is saying, when you're saying, the Holy Ghost is saying, so it's a mixed laughter. You are laughing and you are crying within. Yeah. Holy Ghost on came out. You are laughing, no sin. Because the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. Yeah. Narrow. Oh. But you have to laugh. Oh, brother, yeah. I remember everything is wonderful. And that's the time the Holy Ghost says, remember you. Yeah. Mama. Mama, yeah. So right after you laugh, you just go and say, oh. Then when you start praying or you start conscientizing yourself, then the Holy Ghost says, So you laugh, he cries. He cries, you laugh. Praise the name of the Lord. So, but that's just by the way. But restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So it means that there's something that is called the joy of your salvation. And what and David is teaching that that which drinks the joy of your salvation is when you are not living in consistency with the new heart that God gave you. You want to be forever excited in Christ? Make sure that you stay true to your new heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. Make sure that you stay true to your new heart. A man of God gave me an advice some time ago. And you know, that time we're very graceful. And, you know, nothing can happen to anybody here. You know, that kind of time you can tell somebody that even if I sleep with you, my spirit will make you clean. It doesn't mean we went about sleeping with those people. No. That I was praying for somebody and the person said she was a witch. And said the pastor tried to pray for her and she ended up sleeping with the pastor. And then the pastor became whatever. And I said, me, even if I sleep with you, my spirit will cast out the devil. That's how much I believed in myself. But that was a very stupid statement to make. Praise the name of the Lord. Since when did you hear sperm cleanses people and cast out their... What kind of rubbish is that? Hallelujah. So you see, he said something... So the man said something that, young man, this thing that you are serving God and you are very happy about, I used to be there. The reason why I stopped everything was because I got into women. And everything, every joy, every anointing left me. We started preaching to the man. The giftings and callings of God, they are without repentance. They are there. They are there. But you see, the man put it in different words. All right? The words he put it, that's not exactly it. But the words he wanted to actually say, the right words, that the joy of my salvation left. You cannot misbehave and still be joyful in the Lord. It doesn't happen like that. You fix it and you see that your joy is back. Your joy is back. So the man says, restore. Let there be a restoration of my joy. Next verse. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Next verse. Quickly. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This one, I can preach on this for years, but relax. I won't talk about it today. I'll just give you a tip of the iceberg. He says that when the joy of my salvation is restored, I win souls. That means the number one reason why people don't like to join soul winning is because they are sinning. David has keys. Because if you are not sinning, your joy will not leave you. And your joy always will want you to convert others. Number two is that when I am forgiving, one of the ways to show that I'm a forgiving man, all right? One of the ways to show I'm a forgiving man is to teach sinners God's way. And it is to convert sinners to God. So if you understand how much you've been forgiving, you will win souls. That is very powerful. Write it down. If you really understand how much you have been forgiving, it will be seen in your winning of souls. Anyone who does not win souls does not understand how much he has been forgiven. Praise the Lord. Next verse. I like that. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. So here he comes to the husband, right? The man he killed. Oh God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So now, people who are forgiven, they sing. Come on, hallelujah. You get a song like I've forgotten the song. Next verse. Oh Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. How many verses are in there? For thou desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. So he tells you, in the moment that there is sin, you don't go giving God money. I brought my first fruit to $40,000.
We pastors, we don't know. We'll still lay hands on you and pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, cause the earth to bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. You know, when you watch The Taste of Sin, the woman brought, is it $50,000, $5,000? And Majid Michel was the pastor. And he said, may all your enemies die. The money was big. So the woman opened the thing and just put, said, close it. Woman, may all your enemies die. May they perish. May all of them die. The money has changed the prayer. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So we'll pray for you. But we don't know. So we'll pray for you. You know, some people say that pastors, they are there. They preach against people. So what if somebody goes to win a lottery or how do you call it? A bet and brings the money to church. Thank God when you came, you didn't tell us where the money is coming from. You put in there, the Bible says everything God has made is sanctified with prayer and the word of God. So we just find out, we thank you for this offering and pum, all the bet thing is gone out. If you like, go and do sacrifice and bring the money. We will collect, my God. We will sanctify it with the blood of Jesus. But if you told us that this money is from sacrifice, they will not collect it. So you better keep quiet and bring it. We will take it, but God will deal with you. Hallelujah. Don't mind me. But no, that's not right. Next verse, 17. The sacrifice. So he says, that's not the time for offertory. That's not the time to come and lead up in prayer. That's not the time to come and preach. That's not the time to come and shout. He said, that is the time that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. So a heart that is truly remorseful. Hallelujah. Come on, are we together? Yeah. There's a difference between crying because you have sinned and sorrow unto repentance. Repentance is, I won't do it again, and truly you don't do it again. It's not that moment where you say, in 3 days. No. Repentance means you said it won't happen again, and truly it never happens again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, next verse. 18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thy walls of Jerusalem. So he's talking about himself. Now let's go to chapter 32. When he had finished this prayer and God restored his joy of salvation, then he wrote a psalm about forgiveness. All right? Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Romans 4, all right? That's where the guy picked it from. Next verse. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So it means that I was forgiven to the point that there is no stain of sin in my spirit. So the guy understood repentance and he understood forgiveness. In his repenting, he prayed in 51 of Psalms, and in his forgiveness, he writes a psalm now. He says, when I kept silence, my bones wax old through my roaring all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. So he says, when I had not confessed my sin. Now, that's in the Old Testament. When you sin, you go to confess before God. All right? So he says, when I had not confessed my sin, when I was keeping my sin. When I was keeping my sin, he says that the hand of God was upon me. He says that, He says that the hand of God was heavy on me. And his prosperity began to dry. It simply means that he lost the joy of his salvation. He lost the joy of his deliverance. Are we together in this place? Okay. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Verse 5.
I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, this is where 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 comes from. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not a scripture we have to fight about. You know, so the confession, actually, he was talking to Gnostics, and Gnostics at those times didn't believe. So the Bible says when we confess, the Greek word is homologia. It means to agree with God in a con. So that, you see the way you are suffering. Daddy, I'm sorry. He says, all right, you are forgiven. Go. How is that a problem? How many of you knew that? The Bible says you should not confess. The Bible says you believe that you should not confess, and you did something wrong, and you still went to God and said, Father, I didn't do good. Did you die? Come on, are we together in this place? So that's where the guy picked it from. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Next verse. I've explained this scripture to you, right? Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with wing with songs of deliverance. Do you get it? You will surround me with songs of deliverance. That is also a product of forgiveness. Let's continue. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusted in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And he keeps on singing about the forgiveness. Are we together? Now, he's talking about when you get born again, you get a new heart. And even in the new heart, because you are walking in this earth, you can come to a point where you do something wrong. But when you do something wrong, what happens is that
I believe with my heart and you are raised from the dead.
And they cry. Who didn't say, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart and continuously cry?
You know, they shall be saying, I declare I'm born again.
You know, there was a man when we were having the Afutu crusade, he came to me. He said that, not a man, like a young man, he said that when you were preaching, you said that there's a young man who it's about alcoholism. He said, I gave a prophecy about alcoholism like that. You remember that? Yeah. And said, you were talking to me. He said, suddenly, I began shaking. And I started crying. And he came to sit before me. That's powerful. They said, what can I do? I said, it's very simple. Believe in Jesus. Come to church. You will stop. He said, okay, I will come. Remember, I have your chair. Well, this guy was crying. That was the Friday evening. And I said, okay, we'll have a Holy Ghost service in the afternoon. He said, I will come. Holy Ghost service didn't come. Sunday service didn't come. I called him. He went, hello, so pastor, just hang up like that. That's not born again. But he grew. In fact, he crowed. He cried. Did you see? So some even joined the queue. And they would say, all right. The Holy Ghost is going to fill all of you right now. You're going to speak in tongues. Then a guy is standing in the queue and hears somebody. The person get the Holy Ghost through one. Another person get through tongues. Say, all right. So that they start with. Then you also begin. And then we now begin to say, all right, all of them have spoken in tongues. You let them join the bigger circle. And the person can fall down and roll. But the person was not born again. He got born again. And right after praying in tongues, he's going to sleep in a man's room. And they're going to have sex right after receiving whatever Holy Ghost. It can't happen. Come on. It cannot happen. No, it's like somebody coming to church and say, the service was powerful. And the person came from the house living with a man in the room or married. They're having sex. And the service was powerful. And he still goes back again and says, you didn't receive the word of God.
Yeah, because because received the word of God, and that service was powerful. The moment you park, you say, "Where are you going?" Say, "God has touched me. I can't be in this room when I've not married you. Where are you going? I don't know." Now, what service near powerful? You will do fear. What say? And upon us, you ready watch and answer mutio. Now, be man say, "Oh, me ni mutio, me ni me ni me me padie no." Say near bedie. You just went to church. Who the idea no koche? Hallelujah. Now, this is a serious matter. So the person gets born again. The person gets what he looks like is born again and joins in. So the Bible says that they left us. So finally, such people, they'll be there. People today, you know, Jesus gave a parable. He said a man went to sow and the wheat grew with the tares. And you couldn't uproot them. So God said, leave them. The master said, leave them. Leave them unto the harvesting. So there are a lot of people in church, tongue talking, but they are not born again. Because their tongue did not come from God. Because if you really got tongues, we know what people who got tongues in the Bible, we know what they did. We know how they lived. Come on, hallelujah. Don't say, man, God, you're making me doubt my salvation. Am I really born again? Wait, oh. It's not late. When I call that, if you want to be born again, we call you, come here, be born again. Be born again before it's too late. Yeah. You know, Bishop Dark, he goes to pastor's meeting and he preaches. When he's done, he calls for altar calls and he gets pastors coming to accept Christ afresh. Yeah. People can be pastors and they are not born again. Marokoske, Pragatele, Gonskong, Krade. Oh boy, he's not born again. He's speaking an inherited tongues. Kus. Those people, you know their tongues. That's how it is. Killing, ting, yeah, I saw a guy was praying. I said, this one cannot be born again. He can be born again. No, what kind of life is that? So it's very important that the new heart that has come into you, it comes with a new life. You become hungry for righteousness. You get it? Like, you want to do right. You can't say no to bribe. You are born again. You can't say no to bribe. Meanwhile, you are born again. It's all. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. You have to say, when they all get to heaven, because you ain't going. You're gonna be crazy to think you are going to heaven. You're not going. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 quickly. 6 verse 8 thereabout. The Christian may find himself doing wrong, but the Bible says the one that is born of God does not continue. So when it's a continuation, finally say, oh my God. Master, Betty, you need your own. No, oh, you're born samba. That's what the Bible said. Yeah. Look at that. Nay, you do wrong and defraud and that your brethren. Please continue. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Okay, let me let you understand. Neither fornicators, that everybody know, you're sleeping with somebody you're not married to. When you are not married, fornication. Number two, nor idolaters, people who worship idols. Number three, adulteress, somebody who is married and is having a side chick or side hen or side cock. Yeah, that's adultery. Or effeminate. Yeah. The Bible says you can go to heaven. Yeah. Nobody is born like that. Nobody is born like that. Do you know what happens? When they grow up, no, when they grow up in the midst of women. Yeah, I know a guy like when we're in school. Yeah, he can play and be more than girls. Yeah, ball break now, man. Man, 18 if you're born. And or senika, then we just do like this. You know? Yeah, Oshiwa, Okonton, you know? And he can jump and do her legs some way in the sky. Yeah. A man like that. No, when somebody comes to church like that, what happens is that the person has to be trained. So then when you walk, don't do like this. Now, go like this. Now, start. Yeah. Go like that. Start like that. And the Bible says such people should not even be pastors. Yeah. That's in the Bible. He said they shouldn't be pastors. You can't be a pastor. Praise the Lord. No, you now think about it. Like I come to you right now. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Rabbit today. He gave us the word. How will you feel? Praise the name of the Lord. Yesterday, I was home, and then my sister spoke to me. And this is a man. Mom said, no, we don't need those people in heaven. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody is born like that. It's never true. Those people, they are found in the way. You know, like the people who say lesbians and gays are born that way. There's no scientific proof. No. Nobody is born like that. Hallelujah. That's why when you were born, you had a pencil. Some people also had an eraser. Praise the name of the Lord. That erases destinies. You know? Yeah. So effeminate. Man could act girly. Next verse. Nor adults effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Next verse. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortion. Abusers of themselves. Where are we now? Thieves, covetous. So thieves, covetous. People who are greedy. Something doesn't belong to you. When you see it on the person, you feel like the thing should be on you. If the person doesn't give it to you, you steal it. Yeah. People can do that. Yeah. As for women, cry, you can do that. Women can do that. You see somebody wearing a wig, you say this wig, or bwakra. So if it's long, you just steal it and go and cut it and make it born straight. The Bible calls us covetous. People who, when a brother or somebody has a thing, now they are envying. This thing should be mine. When you are like that, but the Bible is categoric, you will not inherit the kingdom. You know, sometimes, you know, people have used this scripture, grace people, and they explain it with the 11. Grace people will quote it and quickly, blah, 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 and the Bible says, and such were some of you, so we are not like that again. Amen. But what about the brothers and sisters in the church who are like that? They won't go to church, they won't go to heaven, they shall not inherit the kingdom. Why? You cannot be born again and be a fornicator. You may fornicate, but if you become, you were not born again in the first place. Hallelujah. No, you can't be a man in the church and you say that you feel like you were a woman in a man's body. So you are going to do transgender. So think about it, like we are here, by the time we see Sam is coming with a wig, with makeup, you know, wearing a heel, and he says, no, we church. The Bible says we should sack you. No, if we met you and you have done transgender, after you get born again, you have to go and do trans. Yeah, else you should not marry. No, so if you're a man and you go and do a woman, that means you marry a man. So what is that? So you go back. We tell you, please, go and reverse. If you can't reverse too, please, just stay somewhere. Don't even come in the midst of the brothers.
Yeah, because somebody will be mistaking you for a woman, and now you come and stand on the altar and we'll be praying for you. So right now, in some of the churches, they are, when you are going to marry, there are forms you will fill. Yeah. People don't just marry. They go through process in the church. You fill forms. What's your name? Where do you come from? You know, any record of this, you go and do HIV test. You go and do fertility test and all of that. So that we get to know that you are a correct person. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Then now they've added an introduction, a call. Are you a trans? Is the man a trans? Maybe you were a woman and you have become a man. We don't know. And you were a man, you have become a woman. Please, are you a trans? If you say yes, we don't bless trans people here. Get out. Do you understand? And the Bible says they shall not inherit the kingdom. No, go to the verse 10. What you've rushed to bring the 11. Go to verse 10. It's 10 that I want. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Extortioners are people who take money from people. Wise way. There are some pastors, they are extortionists. And I'm telling you, one day I gave money and that was my last money and God came through for me. I'm telling you, if you can sow a seed of $100, oh my kataya, I feel that it's extortion. Don't go, when the person is, no matter how you are feeling going into the street, just wake up and say, hey. Uh-huh. Get yourself out. I tell the more you give and the more you bless. And I'm telling you, give us never lack. I tell us, the Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow like this, I'm going to meet some church leaders. The church of my grandmother. My mother went to see them. Oh, my mother is dead and blood. The funeral, the church has to come and do. And the church said, my grandmother is owing 600 cedis. Because she's not been attending church from 2019. So 600 cedis. And then when they are coming to do the church too, five pastors will come. They will give everybody 200 cedis for trans. The family will give them 200 for. I can't even breathe. So we'll give, that will be 1,000 how much? 1,006. Uh-huh. Then after that, they will eat. Then the offering, they will take three offerings. One will go to the church. First one goes to the church. Second one goes to the pastors. The third one that people are angry, that goes to the family. So my mom came to tell me, I said, really? Because we can't do the funeral. The church is, they don't even wear slippers. It's a spiritual church. I said, we'll do. Me and my brother will do. They said, no, they will not let us do. So we should go and talk to them. Now, this is what they are saying. So tomorrow morning at 10, I have a meeting with them. Yeah, all of them. I said, we'll meet at prisons. They have one church there. I don't know if it's their headquarters or their small quarters. Now go and tell them that somebody got sick 2019. You name them. Now you say the person owes 600 cedis. Can you calculate it? How much a month? I just want to know the calculation. And then they say, oh, 600. They ask for the 600. The church will pay 300 for her. High sense, yeah. Hey, think about it. So the church is giving us, it will give the family 1,000 Ghana cedis. Five pastors will come, 200, that's the 1,000. They will eat. They will come and take offering. That means that they are even making profit. And I told my mother, if I go and they say, don't agree, I won't talk. When they finish, the money to be for me to give them. They will look for me, they won't find me. And the moment they are down with the offertory, the moment they are down, just go and carry it like that. Yeah, they will see something. The moment they are down, now I'll have a big one. I'll pour the first one. Second one, I'll take it. Third one, I'll take it inside. But then I'll just go and put it in my car and lock it. They are looking for me, they will not find me. Yeah. Why would you do that? It's called extortion. It's not pastors alone. Some Christians, not even some Christians, some devil's children are extortionists. Inside the church. Oh, brother, the truth is that I've not eaten the whole day. And one day, one brother, you know, there was a brother who tells me, oh, I've not eaten. Then I'll send 30. I've not eaten. I'll send 20. Oh, I've not eaten. I'll send. Yes. Then, one day, I just felt like this guy is lying. Because anytime he texts me SMS. Then when I send the money, then I see him online. I said, okay. So he texted me that he has not eaten.
the whole day from last night on last day. Has not eaten. I said, no problem. I've cooked. So come home and eat. You never came again. Yeah. There are people that are genuinely hungry. They must be helped. But those people, when you see them, you see them. They come to church. Yeah. I have not eaten that you won't come to church. Sleep. That is extortion. They take money from you. They have ways and means to gather money out of your pocket. Yeah. I've not eaten. I'm dying. For 1 week now, we have just been fasting. It says the grace of God. No money has been coming. I'm dying. You can die. When you die, we'll raise you. If we raise you and you won't raise, we'll bury you. So they are they extort. Sometimes they can gather money, like, my school fees and blah, 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 blah. Then you give them the money. Then they will take another one from somewhere. Then they gather the money. Then they go and buy a new phone. They will use a bigger, better phone than pastor. Yeah. You don't do that. The Bible says when you do that, you don't go to heaven. Right there in the book. Now, then look at the next verse, verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. It means that you were like that. He didn't say, and such are some of you. Such were. The moment you are part of the are, you are part of those who are not going to heaven.
I have in me the burden.